What about those flooded Texas schools and the children who'll need education this fall? We have a report on the way from Marketplace's education correspondent. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. More than 120 school districts remain closed today as a result of the floods, according to Texas education officials. In Houston, public schools, which normally serve 200,000 students, are not expected to open until sometime after Labor Day. The first day of school was supposed to have been 2 days ago. Meanwhile, dry schools, including those in nearby towns and cities, are opening their doors to evacuees. From the education desk at WYPR, Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Harmony Charter Schools serve about 12,000 students in Houston, mostly from low-income families. CEO Soner Tarim expects most schools to open next Tuesday. He says it's too early to know how many students have been displaced.
Well, we know over several hundred parents already. We find out that their homes are flooded.
Some students forced from their homes will end up in neighboring districts, and state education funding will follow them. Esperanza Zendejas is superintendent of the Brownsville Independent School District, which has enrolled 8 new students since schools opened Monday. She expects more as roads become accessible.
Our doors are open for 1 week or 2 weeks or however long they need, but I think it's important that the children be in school.
Experts say school gives children a routine amidst all the upheaval and connects them with vital services like the free meals many low-income families count on. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
An estimated 300,000 properties in Texas are still without power amid the storm. As the never-before-seen rains and widespread flooding continues, utilities are up against a lot. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Many of those without power are in and around Corpus Christi, where Hurricane Harvey's winds took down power lines. 95% of the outages there should be restored by tonight, but many customers in the Houston area will be waiting longer. Alicia Dixon is with CenterPoint Energy.
In some cases, we're simply not able to get into areas to even assess the damage to see what the problem is.
With thousands of workers on the job, the effort is likely to cost hundreds of millions of dollars. In 2008, after Hurricane Ike, CenterPoint spent $663 million on recovery efforts. Terry Hadley at Texas's Public Utilities Commission says utilities do have reserves in anticipation of serious weather events.
However, experience tells us that no utility would have a reserve for the events of Harvey.
Hadley says it'll take months to tally the actual costs. He expects utilities will ask his agency to approve rate hikes. That means customers will ultimately help pay for the Harvey cleanup. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Checking markets this morning, with Harvey temporarily shutting down the Port Arthur, Texas refinery, the largest in the U.S., the spot price of gasoline spiked to a 2-year high, up 3.7% in New York trading right now. With refining capacity down, crude piles up, and that price is down about 0.6% this morning, just above $46 a barrel. Stocks London's 100 share index is up 0.3%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 1.1% despite North Korea tensions. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up plus 27 points or 0.1% for the Dow future. Hi, it's David Brancaccio. I wanted to let you know about some changes coming to this podcast feed Tuesday, September 5th. You'll still get the Marketplace Morning Report that you already know and listen to, and a midday update. Plus, we'll start including a new global edition of the Morning Report, hosted by the BBC's Anu Anand, that will bring you all the international business and economic news. So, thank you for listening. In South Asia, Nepal through India, heavy rains have led to floods that have killed more than 1,200 people during an especially savage monsoon season, which normally ends in the coming days. India's financial capital was savaged yesterday by flooding that immobilized that vast city's transport system. We reached business correspondent Samir Hashmi with our partner broadcaster, the BBC, in Mumbai this morning. Samir, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, David.
Give us a sense of just how widespread the flooding is in your part of the world.
There were huge rainfalls, so heavy rainfalls on Tuesday, which went on for 7-8 hours, and that led to huge floodings over here in Mumbai and the regions around Mumbai. Especially in Mumbai, it was a huge problem because you have 20 million people living here. Most of them were in their offices, which is at a distance from the suburbs where most of them live. And that's why when it started raining, the water level started rising. It did create a lot of problems and chaos in the city because people are finding it difficult to move from one place to another. But it has stopped raining since last night, and the water levels have receded. And people have started moving now and getting back to their homes because a lot of them were stranded throughout the night.
Now, of course, this flooding goes well beyond Mumbai, even extends really into Nepal. And there's been some hardship outside the big cities as well.
There have been huge floodings across many parts of India and other neighboring countries like Nepal. The state of Bihar has seen, which is on the northeast side of India, has seen huge floodings in which a lot of people have lost their lives over the last few days. Prior to that, the northeast state of Assam also saw huge floodings.
Now, with the terrible flooding going on here in the U.S., in Texas, into Louisiana, that's drawing a lot of the media's attention, a lot of the world's attention. I see some aid groups quoted appealing for charitable donors in developed nations not to overlook what you're facing there.
The problem in India has been that when floodings happen, apart from the cities getting affected, it does affect a lot of rural areas. And because infrastructure is poor in these regions, it does become very difficult for aid to reach to these parts. And that's why there has been this huge appeal from various organizations to get donors to contribute so that they can help people in these regions.
BBC business correspondent Samir Hashmi from India's financial capital, Mumbai. Mr. Hashmi, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
And the brand new CEO of Uber, Dara Khosrowshahi, has yet another challenge as he takes the calm. News of a preliminary Justice Department investigation into whether the car service bribed foreign officials. Uber says it's cooperating with the probe. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.